This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Walter Schaub, the head of the Office of Government Ethics, has resigned after months of wrangling with the Trump administration. Schaub said he had not been pressured to step down about 6 months before his term was set to expire. In his resignation letter to President Trump, he wrote, quote, "Public service is a public trust requiring employees to place loyalty to the Constitution, the laws, and ethical principles above private gain." Now, the resignation of a federal official would ordinarily not invoke much attention, but as the New York Times put it, the news is significant in, quote, "Mr. Trump's Washington, where the vast holdings of the president and his cabinet, as well as an influx of advisors from businesses and lobbying firms, have raised a rash of accusations of conflicts of interest," end of quote. My guest is Rachel Curley, Democracy Associate with Public Citizens Congress Watch Division. Welcome to the program, Rachel.
Thanks, Sonali. Thanks for having me.
So let's first talk about the actual Office of Government Ethics, what it's supposed to do, where it originated, you know, this even just the name of it sounds like something that we really need to protect ourselves from conflicts of interest, from corruption. So where did this office come from? What was its origin?
Absolutely. As you said, this office is critical to our democracy, and it was formed by Congress following the Watergate scandal. And so it was formed to be a completely independent agency that oversees any potential conflicts of interest within our government. So the office, the basic function of it is to consult with incoming political appointees, to go over any financial disclosures, any sort of business ties from their life before the government, and work out any potential conflicts of interest and how to avoid those. So it is absolutely a function of our government that is intended to root out corruption and to make sure that members of our government are not working in their own personal interest or, you know, using their position of power to make personal gain, but rather that they are serving all Americans.
And the head of this office is usually, I'm assuming, similar to how the FBI head is appointed. It's appointed by the president, but with staggered terms so that there is some sense of independence from the executive branch, right?
Absolutely, yes. So the head of the office is appointed in five-year terms. And like you said, that is for the exact purpose of keeping it separate from presidential terms so that the office can be truly independent. And the head is also confirmed by the Senate, much like other heads of government agencies as well, to make sure that it is someone who can serve in an unbiased way.
Is this office meant to oversee Congress as well, or is it just focused on the executive branch, that the incoming president, his administration, the people he appoints as cabinet?
It is meant to oversee the executive branch and agency officials as well. It is not meant to directly oversee Congress, but rather works with Congress, particularly to enforce any sort of conflicts of interest issues. And so the agency will make a recommendation to Congress if there is some sort of conflict of interest that needs to be addressed.
Let's talk about Walter Schaub specifically. In January, just days before President Trump was inaugurated, Mr. Schaub gave a speech at the Brookings Institution where he said a number of things, but very clearly up front, he said, "The plan the president-elect has announced doesn't meet the standards that the best of his nominees are meeting and that every president in the past four decades has met. My hope is that if the Office of Government Ethics can provide some constructive feedback on his plan, he may choose to make adjustments that will resolve his conflicts of interest." At that moment, did Schaub basically make it very clear that that his standards would be in conflict with what the incoming president's standards were?
I think in that speech, Walter Schaub made it very clear as to what the role of the Office of Government Ethics is. It is to ensure that everyone, including the President of the United States, is not exempt from these ethics laws in our country and from having no conflicts of interest. He made it very clear before the president came into office after he was elected that he expected President Trump to put his businesses and his assets into a completely blind trust, as previous presidents have done. And when the president made his announcement that he was going to put his assets and his businesses in the hands of his two sons, Walter Schaub made the point that that is not a good enough firewall. That is not enough of a division between the president and his business ties, and is absolutely leaving the door open for conflicts of interest.
Well, Schaub cited Rex Tillerson as an example of meeting ethical standards. In the speech he gave in January, he said that I'm happy to report that it's not all bad news. I'm especially proud of the ethics agreement we developed for the intended nominee for Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. He said Mr. Tillerson is making a clean break from Exxon. Tillerson, being the former CEO of Exxon, he's also forfeiting bonus payments worth millions. As a result of OGE's work, he is now free of financial conflicts of interest. Now, of course, we might, you know, imagine that Tillerson will still continue to make decisions in the interest of the fossil fuel industry, given how recently he was part of that industry. But at least on paper and in terms of real dollars, he did try to separate himself. So Walter Schaub was proud of that. Did, since he gave that speech in January, did Trump make any move towards meeting a similar standard that his own Secretary of State met?
Well, as far as we've seen, the president has not moved to amend his arrangement with putting his businesses in the hands of his son. He also has not fully released his tax returns, which you may have seen that there were hundreds of people who took to the mall here in Washington, D.C. To demand that he release those tax returns so that we can fully have a picture of his business interests. And speaking to Rex Tillerson, it is important to remember how many corporate giveaways are in President Trump's Congress, or in his cabinet, rather. He has stacked the deck with, you know, titans of industry, and while they may have made particular promises on paper, it is not unreasonable to assume that they will continue to look out for the interests of the industries that they just came from. And similarly, even with officials below the cabinet level, the waivers, the ethics waivers that Schaub actually forced the White House to release not too long ago, showed that there are many White House officials who have been given waivers to continue to work on the issues that they were just lobbying on before they came into the administration.
So explain this issue of the ethics waivers. What does that mean, and how much use has this administration made of them?
Well, so the waivers are an important mechanism, essentially disclosing whether or not there have been exceptions made for particular administration officials to continue to engage with interests from their past. And what was interesting with this administration was that the White House counsel, Don McGahn, who was in charge of managing those ethics waivers, was not willing to release them, which is very much out of practice with what has occurred in the past. That information is supposed to be made public so that the public can judge, you know, if there's still a conflict of interest. And so what Walter Schaub did was he made it very clear that it was critical that this information and these sort of exceptions that had been made and the judgments that had been made by the White House, that it was still okay for these administration officials to talk to their contacts in the private industry or, you know, continue again to work on issues that they were just lobbying on. That information as to why they came to those judgments should be out in the open. So Walter Schaub pressed the White House to make that information available, and they originally pushed back. OMB Director McMulvaney sent a letter back to Schaub saying that he did not have the legal authority to ask for this information. And so they were trying to maintain the secrecy. And when Walter Schaub was sort of unrelenting in his request, they finally released them. But it's a critical transparency and accountability mechanism. And the White House seemed a little bit reluctant to make that information available.
And I understand that the waivers have been issued to Chief of Staff Ryan Priebus, Kellyanne Conway, Steve Bannon, all of these people that Trump has very close to him.
Yes, and they are waivers that allow them to continue to engage with the people from their previous life. So Steve Bannon has a waiver to continue to meet privately with Breitbart, which presents a clear conflict of interest. We are unable to know what those meetings are about. Kellyanne Conway is still able to meet with her private consulting clients. And Reince Priebus is also able to receive payments from his former job as well. So the people in the top, very top echelon of Trump's administration are receiving these exceptions, and that is presenting additional conflicts of interest and is problematic.
So the person that was in charge of attempting to keep this government, this executive branch in check, has resigned. Why do you think he resigned? He's saying he was not pressured to resign.
I think citing Schaub's statement, which he made saying that he, you know, felt like he had achieved as much as he could in this role and was unable to achieve more. He said he was looking to, you know, continue to better the ethics standards in this country and felt like he could do that from the outside as opposed to in the role that he was currently in. I think what is more concerning at this point is who is going to fill those shoes, because he was such a powerful advocate for ethics, maintaining the ethics laws, and for rooting out conflicts of interest. It is concerning as to who the Trump administration will put in his place and whether or not that person will be just as committed as Schaub was, or whether they will stifle the work of the office, which, as we've talked about, is critically important.
I mean, on the one hand, a resignation such as this highlights the problems, but on the other hand, it now enables Trump to put whoever he wants in this position, which is likely to be a person who is not going to come down hard on the executive branch.
And that is worrisome. And I think if, you know, Trump was interested in maintaining his commitment from the campaign to truly drain the swamp, he would put someone in this position who is a staunch proponent of maintaining ethics laws. But as you've said, the administration has shown that they are maybe not as interested in maintaining that campaign promise now in practice. And so it is concerning as to whether or not he will place someone who will be a good fit. And I will just say that the nominee will have to be confirmed by the Senate. And so this is an important moment for regular Americans and folks who are listening to contact their senators and tell them that they are looking for someone who will be committed to the mission of this office, and that it is critically important that we have someone in the role who will do that.
I mean, given that Congress is dominated by Republicans, this is basically a test of how much or how high a standard Republicans will hold their own president to. I can just try to picture how this would look if we had the exact same situation, but with Obama instead of Trump, or a Democrat instead of Trump, and how, you know, hysterically the Republicans would be screaming about conflicts of interest. And in fact, during Obama's 8 years, they made much of President Obama's, you know, if anything that even was a slight whiff of a conflict of interest. There was the issue with the solar company, I can't remember the name of the company now, that just amounted to a whole bunch of nothing. And when it comes to their own president, whose conflicts of interest are so stark, so overt, so in your face, who is doing nothing to try to step away from these conflicts of interest, there is silence from the Republicans. It's quite hypocritical and shameful.
It is hypocritical, and that is why it is critically important that the last defense and the final line of defense against their apathy are the American people. And as we've seen with the healthcare fight, folks are paying attention. They are fired up to hold even their most conservative members of Congress accountable to maintaining this democracy and maintaining a government that works for the American people and not in the interest of big businesses and corporations and the Chamber of Commerce. And so I think that, like I said, it is most critical that folks make a point on this issue. I know that the Office of Government Ethics is a somewhat obscure governmental branch and was not, in the spotlight until this point, but it
is... Well, we've never had a president with this many potential conflicts of interest.
Exactly. And so it has raised the profile of the office immensely, and yet the office has been doing incredibly important work this whole time. And so it may seem obscure, but it is just as important as any of the other fights to make our voices heard, that we're not going to stand for someone who is going to roll over in the face of these conflicts of interest. We need someone who is going to be a powerful voice in maintaining the highest ethical standards in our government.
Now, given that the Office of Government Ethics is likely to not be headed by somebody as stringent standards as Walter Schaub, what can we rely on? I understand that there are a number of lawsuits by organizations and even other businesses that are attempting to hold Trump accountable. There's lawsuits by hotel industry representatives who see the Trump hotel chain getting undue business with Trump in the White House. There's CREW, organization that oversees ethics in Washington, that has a lawsuit. Are these lawsuits the sort of last line of defense that we can hope will nudge judges to hold this administration accountable?
The lawsuits are absolutely a critical piece of the pushback, and so it is very important that we continue to use that mechanism and to go to the courts to hold the administration accountable. And but not to beat a dead horse, I think also the action in the streets and the showing up at rallies and in person, and particularly with respect to members of Congress, because Congress really has the power to hold the president accountable, and so folks should be deeply committed to making sure that their members of Congress do their job, and that hope it is not lost. Those members can be moved, and folks should make a point of doing that.
Mm-hmm. And the Office of Government Ethics, it should be mentioned, was essentially only allowed to give advice, not actually enforce any kind of ethical standards. So, as much as we would like to see a strong Office of Government Ethics in place, it's largely a symbolic one that can help shed light for Congress to take action, right?
That is true. It is true that at the end of the day, Congress is the one with the most enforcement power over the issues that the Office of Government Ethics brings to light. And so I would be, remiss if I didn't also add that at the end of the day, we do need even stronger ethical standards and a mechanism for the office or some other mechanism to be able to hold members of the administration accountable for their conflicts of interest. So I think Schaub cited this in his address when he was leaving, or in his letter, that he wants to go and continue to improve our ethics laws and continue to improve the mechanisms that we have to root out these conflicts of interest. So we do have, there is room for improvement.
Rachel, give out the website for Public Citizen.
Absolutely. It is citizen.org, CITIZEN.org.
We'll post a link to that from our site later today. Thanks so much, Rachel.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me on.
My guest is Rachel Curley. She is the Democracy Associate with Public Citizens Congress Watch Division. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. Our website is risingupwithsonali.com, where you can also sign up for our daily newsletter, as well as find links that we mention on the air. You can also find our show on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.